Of
And
course.
once I realized, like, hey, you gotta accept that you're, this is not you, this is not part of you anymore. This doesn't mean to make you happy, because I was just going there and I was really tired, really energy drained. And you know, it's not bad to have stress, but it was a different kind of stress.
Hi listeners, I'm your host Brennan Coates, and welcome to a brand new episode of Designing for Happiness. Today, we'll be interviewing our guest, Edwini Tielemans, to get her thoughts and opinions on the topic of well-being and happiness.
Hello!
Hi, Emmy. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good as well. Happy.
You
welcome. Look... Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining.
Thank you. You look fresh. I
oh,
like
thank
it.
You. I got my hair cut a few days ago, so maybe that's why.
See that? Yeah, yeah, that's why. Nice. I like
yes.
it.
Yeah, yeah. So yes, thank you for taking the time to be on the show, Designing for Happiness.
Yes, thank you for you to invite me to the show. I'm excited. I'm like super nervous and excited at the same time.
don't have to be nervous. No, no.
Let's get to it.
So yes, first, do you mind presenting yourself to the audience, telling a bit more about you, what you do and study?
Well, my name is Edmilie Tielemans. I am 25 years old. I live in the Netherlands. I've been here for 6 years right now. I am from the beautiful Ireland, Bonaire, actually, but I also yeah. lived on Curaçao. So shout out to Bonaire and Curaçao.
Yes.
Right now, I'm not currently studying anything. In Dutch, they call it tussenjaar, a gap year.
Yes,
but I'm going to start studying online content creator in September.
Okay.
Yes. Good things coming up. But in the past, I study social studies. Let's put it like that to wrap all the things I did.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so before we start with the questions, I want to go back to your career, what you're studying. But before that, I want to ask you, for you, what does it mean to be happy?
Ooh, oh, wow. For me, it's a feeling. It's a feeling that even though like things are not going good, or you're not feeling, but let's say you got a grade and it's like, not the best grade, but you are able to be like, okay, better luck next time, you know, like
yes,
it's just
yeah.
like, you know it, because I link it immediately with happiness. Of course, happiness comes from being happy, blah blah. So that's, for me, is the definition of happiness, being happy with the person you are, regardless of your flaws, regardless of anything that you have done in the past and are thinking right now.
I think that's very important, to be happy with who you are and how you are and everything that's within that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really easier said than done, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, in practice, it doesn't go like we want it to.
No, but things get a bit more complicated in practice, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's my definition of how I would, see happiness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Okay, so I have my first question. So you're in your gap year right now.
Yes.
And when I was researching, well, not researching, but I was looking you up on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw your profile said you were studying drama therapy. So when did that change? I mean, what happened that you changed your career, your studies?
Well, that's a good question. And we're talking about happiness. So it's a good kind of combination, because when it changed, it was last year in November. I decided like, hey, you know what? I was doing an internship at a school, and it's a special onderwijs. How do you say that? In special kind of school for like autism.
Yes.
Kids with ADHD.
With special needs.
Special needs. Yes, exactly. And I realized like, I'm just doing this because I need a paper, but I know that I'm not going to do this job after I'm finished. Huh. And I knew that for as long as I can remember, but I didn't want to accept it. So because 2020 was a year of reflection and stuff, mm-hmm. I started to, it was like this, my internship leader, she wasn't at, she was sick. Mm-hmm. And I had to do the therapy sessions by myself. Mm-hmm. So those were the moments when I realized like, yeah, no. This is not my thing. And it was so annoying and scary and exciting at the same time because I immediately thought, but oh my God, if it's like this, what am I going to do? How am I going to tell my parents this? How, you know, all those questions pop up in my head. And basically I already knew it, but I had to accept it. And once I realized like, hey, you gotta accept that this is not you, this is not part of you anymore. Mm-hmm. This doesn't mean to make you happy, because I was just going there and I was really tired, really energy drained. And you know, it's not bad to have stress, but it was a different kind of stress. It was like a stress that you feel your soul, your happiness, nah.
Yes, I understand. Away. I understand.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
no, continue, please.
So that was the moment I realized like, okay, I have to stop lying to myself mm-hmm. and lying to others. And I just made the decision to stop with my, I was in the third year. Can you imagine that third year?
Was it 4 years in total?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Most people, when I told them, yeah, I stopped with the study, they were like, what? But you were almost finished. Why didn't you finish it? And I was like, yes, I thought everything through. I thought every reaction that I could have gotten, I thought mm-hmm. about it already. And I was like, you know, it's like, it's different. If, let's say, if I wanted to do 6 more months, I would mm-hmm. have done it. But I really didn't want to do it at all. Like, yeah. even uh-huh. if someone paid me $1 billion, no, it wasn't. No,
I understand. I mean, in 2019 as well, I went through something similar with my study. I was also in third year, but my career is a 5-year career. So I was missing 2 more years to finish. Mm,
okay.
But I was thinking, thinking through that, okay, I'm not really enjoying what I'm doing.
No.
But I still do like the topic of architecture, but I'm not really enjoying the mm-hmm. the process of it. So mm-hmm. I was this close to leaving. I was researching other options, other careers to study, but I ended up not leaving and I'm still here studying architecture. I do not regret it though. I do not regret it. I'm happy
good.
With my choice.
That's so good.
I think it was just like a moment that you had like, yeah. okay, questioning everything, but then it came yeah. back like kind of the passion.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I do want to ask you.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Go.
No, I want to ask you as well. So, I mean, wasn't there something else you could have done within that same area that maybe wasn't doing therapies with people, something maybe research or something different you could have followed as a professional once you finish?
I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, I mm-hmm. think. But at that moment, because I really wanted to do coaching and I also applied for a coaching study after I stopped with my study
yeah.
but it didn't yeah work, but anyways that's a good question, because I didn't really see myself
in that field.
Yes, it not yes, let's put it like that, in that field, because the thing was, I really like the fact that I can connect. I love to connect with people, have deep conversation with them. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, it was really, how do you say this? I was really pulling so much. It was costing me a lot of energy to help them understand what they're going through. Mm-hmm. So in that case, I realized like, hey, I could have done it, But at the same time, it was just because I needed a paper, you know? Because I know I would be, why? Because therapy requires a lot of self-reflection, a lot of knowing who you are, a lot of knowing what the person is going through and empathizing with them. And I couldn't empathizing with them, but because I was too much empathizing with them, I couldn't really help them. You know? So that was really scary to realize because I felt like, okay, wow. So all these years I thought I could be a drama therapist, but at the same time I thought I couldn't, but anyways. but I realized like, no, it's too much pressure on me. It puts too much, no, it wasn't my thing. You know, people can't really work with, let's say doing surgeries or something because they're afraid of blood, something like that. In my case, I don't see myself working with someone. Like I can talk with them, but I cannot help them with their problem. I don't know if you're getting
I understand what you mean. Yes.
Yeah. Because you know, they really have to have someone who can explain to them in different kind of ways or in details what's going on in their mind. And I couldn't really, I don't know. Like I can help. Let's say if someone comes to me and they ask for advice, I can give you advice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not if I'm the person who's going to help you through your depression. And that's like, I feel a lot of pressure as, you know, I'm like, oh, no.
I understand. And I wonder as well, I mean, okay, so 6 years ago, when you decided to study drama therapy.
Mm-hmm. No, actually.
Oh, you started something different.
Yes, I started something different because for drama therapy, you had to do a selection. You had to do a sort of an audition. That's called an audition. But I couldn't come to the Netherlands, so I did social work for 8 months, and then I stopped because I was like, nah, drama therapy is my thing. Mm-hmm. Then I started with drama therapy 5 years ago then, if you can.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
And so now you're interested in doing online creative.
Online content creator.
Online content creator, yes.
Yeah.
But before drama therapy, so how did you decide to do drama therapy in the first place? And how did I change to something so different as online content creator? What's the connection between that?
Okay. Basically, there's no connection. But anyways, actually, there might be a connection. But well, let's start with drama therapy because I remember at school we had a decan. I don't know how you say that in English.
Like someone dean, kind of the dean.
Yeah. Someone, she helped us with our career choices and what we wanted, our interests, blah, 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 blah. I think you know her too.
Yes.
But she was like, hey, you're very creative and you love to help people, right? I'm like, yeah. She's like, hey, there is this study called creative therapy. And I was like, creative therapy, what is that? Because the official name was creative therapy, but they changed it a few years back. But like there's music therapy, drama therapy, dance therapy, whatever, a bunch of therapies. And she was like, oh, you can do one of these things. I was like, oh my god, yes. I didn't even know that exists. So can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So then I went, I did some research, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is something I can do. I can be creative while helping people, you know. So that's why I was like, okay, this is the perfect job for me. And well, when I started, it was really hard, I swear, because social work was also very much about reflecting. And from the islands, we don't learn to reflect on ourselves. You just do something or your mom or your dad decide for you what to do, you know? So it was really like I had to know my strengths, my weaknesses, and how to deal with them. So I really got to know myself throughout the process. And in my first year, I got my propedeuse. I don't know how to say that in English as well. Oh my God.
I don't think there's an English version of that.
Anyways, guys, you get 60 points and you're good to go.
Basically.
Yeah. But my doubts was in my first year. In my first year, I already was thinking, is this something for me? But okay, I got my propedeuse, so I'll just go to second year. Second year, the same thing. Do I really, really, really want to do this? I'm this far. It's the second year, so let's just do it. Third year, yeah. This is the charm, like they say, in this case, not really. But the third year is the real deal because you're going on an internship and you're really going to do therapy sessions. And it was the year that I was panicking, having panic attacks. And anyways, it was really, because before I was doing an internship in Jeugdzorg, like where it was like not a prison, you don't say prison. Well, the clients, they live there, they're like young adults,
yes,
living there, and they went to school there, they stay there, this, so they're really like little criminals. Okay, you cannot say it like that, that's not nice. But actually they had some really childhood traumas and they went through,
yes,
you know, so it was really rough. So it got also, yeah, it was tough. But the bridge going to online content creator was actually last year when my girlfriend started to study, because she's studying online content creator. And every time she's like, hey, can you help me with this? And I'm like, okay, cool, fine, I'll help you. And you also know about my programs, the
#1pap, right? Yeah, yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So basically, I'm doing the social media content as well for that. So basically, that's how it got into my head, like, oh, okay, this is, I really enjoy this, though. I would like to explore more on this passion or idea or, you know, desire I have. Because the thing is, when I see some people posting on Instagram or Facebook, yeah, just social media in general, I can see when something is not, you know, like
working well.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. And my girlfriend keeps telling me, hey, maybe you should try it. And I was like, okay, why? List some reason why I should do this. She's like, yeah, you're creative, this, that, 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 that. I'm like, that kind of makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Because I never really thought about it, because I was really focused on drama therapy, social. I am a social person, blah, blah, blah. But I also know I'm creative. Of course, I was doing drama therapy, creative study. So that was really the bridge to drama therapy going to online content creator. It was actually #1pap who inspired me to actually see social media in another way, because right now we're really like breaking taboos in the ABC community, and we're doing that via social media, you know? And I think that what I've learned in my social studies is what I'm actually applying. That's what I'm applying in my program as well.
Okay.
You know, that if reflecting on yourself, you're put yourself first, you're important too. All those lessons I learned, I'm basically using. So basically, I'm grateful for those lessons.
Of course, yeah.
And I can accept that, hey, that's there and I'm going here, you know? That I can close that chapter.
Okay, that's great, that's great. I was gonna say one thing that I was thinking as well is that most of the careers, when you start studying, it's like, okay, so everything's going well, everything is fun. But then in your third or fourth year is when you actually get to know how it's like in real life. That's when you say the internship, that's when you actually see how it is in real life. And that's when people start noticing, okay, this is not for me. This is not something I like. So it's kind of, I think we have to rethink how we are teaching, how we do university studies, because it has to be earlier on that you want to notice, okay, I'm spending so much time on this, and I have to know if this is really something for me or not.
For you, yes, exactly.
It's very, exactly. It's very weird, yeah.
Yeah, I know that some of my teachers also talked about this before, and they were like, yes, in the first year they're very strict right now with the auditions. Mm-hmm. You really, really have to want to study this because in my study it was really common for in the second or third year that someone they stopped with the study. It was really common.
Of course.
In my first year, they were like, yeah, some people stopped studying in the second year. We're a class of 5 students right now, or 7, you know, just like that, because it takes a lot of energy. I mean, it's therapy. You gotta know, you have to want it for you to actually
be able to do it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other day I was listening to a podcast as well that mentioned that a lot of time we start with this commitment, and then when we start realizing that things aren't exactly what we were hoping for, we still continue with it without really accepting that, okay, this is not going what we planned, but we still do it because we're committing, and we start thinking about, okay, what if I leave now? What if I stop now and it gets better after I stop? So you guys, it's kind of like we start putting more and more and more energy into something, but you will never get the return of your investment of that energy. No.
Exactly.
You just keep committing more and more and more, and it just doesn't work out until you reach a point you realize, okay, this is definitely no.
No, exactly. And I think also talking about it, I did have some friends I talked to about it, but they were also saying, no, go, you can keep doing this.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, people support you.
Of course.
But at the same time, I'm like, I think most of us are like afraid to stop doing something because you're afraid of what people will say, or that you're feeling, or indeed what you said, that it may get better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like also when you're in relationships and people say abusive relationships, and most of the time you hear someone say that, I'm just, you know, he'll change someday.
Yes.
Or she'll change. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, true that.
Okay, so I want to ask you as well. So before you were living in Curaçao and Bonaire with your family, I suppose, yes?
Yeah.
And now in the Netherlands, you live alone on your own?
Yes. I live with, do I have to tell you how I live, or?
If you want to, of course.
Yes, of course. Okay. So I live in a student complex. Mm-hmm. That's how they say it in English. I don't know how to say it in English. On my hallway, I have, we're 9 in total. So I have 8 roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a room and a, not a bedroom, only the douche. Wow, translating is
so for where your shower, the shower.
Yes, the shower, exactly. The shower and the kitchen, and we share 2 toilets with the 8 roommates then.
Okay.
So that's how I live. And I've been living here for 6 years.
Oh, since you went to the Netherlands, you've been living in the same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
In the same place.
In the same place. Wow.
In the same place.
I've been living here for almost 5 years now, and I've lived in 5 different places.
Wow. You know, the difference is, how long have you lived in Curaçao at your house?
18 years. So my whole life I've lived. Yeah.
Okay. And in my case, I'm the opposite. I travel. We moved a lot. I lived 7 years in Curaçao.
Mm-hmm.
I moved 9 times.
Oh, wow.
9 times. So when I got here, I was like, this is my place right now. No, it's just moving. It takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of energy as well. Uh-huh. Yes.
And it's difficult to get something here in the Netherlands. A good place, good neighborhood, a good house, good building.
It's complicated.
So, yeah.
And how has been that difference, you know, that sudden change from living with family to living completely on your own or living with people you don't exactly know?
Well, it was really, how can you put this shortly and understandably? Because it was, I'm not gonna lie, it was hard. It was hard because I'm used to, you know, getting home and my mom cook dinner or doing laundry. I was kind of spoiled. My mom used to drive me a lot. So, you know, when I got here, it was a slap in the face. Not a slap in the face, yeah, because that sounds really, really harsh, but it felt like a slap in the face because everything now you had to do, you have to start doing on your own, groceries, scheduling school stuff, going to get the bus, commuting, blah, blah, cooking. Don't forget to take out trash. You know, the little teeny tiny things that you don't think about when you're living with your parents. Mm-hmm. Now you're the one doing them. And in the beginning, I'm not gonna lie, it was amazing. You know, you have your own room, freedom. Yeah. But also here, the challenge is for the ABCs, or I'm talking for myself, the weather.
Oh.
I'm not used to rain, like, not that I'm not used to rain, but the rain doesn't really, you know,
it's not the same. Yeah,
so the weather was kind of also played a big role in living alone, because you already have these things you have to deal with, and then you have a weather to deal with that you're not used to it. So it was really, really hard to really adapt on the lifestyle here.
Yes.
And it took me a while. I mean, I'm still finding my way in, you know, because every season it changes, and every year it changes, because let's say right now you're finding your drive, you're going good, but something happens, you got to switch up, you know? So you can't really stick to one plan for the rest of your life. You have to keep
changing.
In my case then, you have to keep changing, and growing, of course. So,
And how did you manage to kind of start feeling at home in your apartment? What did you do? What are the things that you did?
I think I started to put some pictures of my mom and my family, because I remember in my first year I didn't do that really. Like, it was very confronting, like, they're there, they're not here, you know. They're only on a picture, I'm not seeing them, you know. But then I was like, hey, you know what, I'm just gonna put some picture. And sometimes when I'm feeling homesick, because I really struggle with that too, being homesick, I put some music on. That we used to, like, me and my mom, you know, Zouk, Kassaf.
Ah, yes.
There's a song, it's famous, everyone knows it, I think. Me and my mom danced while we clean, you know? And when I clean, I put the song and I'm like, hey, going inside my room. So that's my way that I cope with it, fine. Sometimes
nice.
I cook dishes, that my mom used to cook. Okay, I cook only cook one dish my mom used to cook. But you know, those type of things, and call her or call my other family members. That's my way that I, you know, find my way. And also finding people here, you know, that's also important, because I'm living here right now. I left the island, so I gotta make this my home, and
of course
I don't only have to take things from home here. I also have to make here home. So
yes,
I try to, you know, find the good things in the Netherlands. Like, when the weather is gray, I was just like, you know, this is the weather. I can't do nothing about it. If I keep complaining, it's not gonna help with anything. So those teeny tiny things, find someone, make friends. In my study, I still have contact with them, so I'm really grateful for that. And that really helped me to, you know, feel a part of the community, go out, yeah, those type of things.
Okay.
Join a vereniging.
I have no idea how to translate that.
That's like sorority? No, it's
kind
not
of, no, it's, not, it's something similar, but not exactly. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So those things I did, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. And do you feel that if that something like kind of maybe the design, the layout or anything about your apartment kind of affects you negatively as well?
Negatively? I think, that's a good question. Because I really like my room. So
oh, that's,
I don't
maybe
know.
There's nothing as well. Maybe there's nothing that affects it.
Because you know the thing I like about this? Because I have my own shower. Somehow that, you know, it, because there's some other buildings from the same company.
Yeah.
And some of them you have to share everything. You know, you only have your room for yourself and you have to share everything else. And I don't really see myself doing that because I love the fact that I have a shower and I only have to use the toilet. I remember there used to be these toilets. They were black and like the seat of the toilets was black and the toilet was white. And that was some kind of way really disgusting. And also I remember our hallway used to have a really disgusting floor.
Yeah.
And they changed it 2 years back, I think, or 1 year ago. I don't remember. But that changed everything somehow.
Oh, wow.
I can't. It made it more. And the elevator as well, they changed it, make it more fancy, modern. I don't know. Somehow they that changed the whole vibe of the
building. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like a whole nother building. So I think it really matters. Now that you're saying that, it really clicked to me like how important that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think those are the things that were negatively. And also my furnitures. I used to have a one-person bed.
Mm-hmm.
Bed. And now I have a two-person bed. So, you know.
Yeah, more comfortable. Yeah, yes. And what's your happy place? If they ask you, what's your happy place? It can be something physical, also something mentally. What's your happy place? Where do you feel the happiest?
Basically, when I come home.
Mm-hmm.
I take my shoes off. I take everything off. I put some music. And I know I don't have to do anything else for that day. Like, I'm done. And the thing that plus it up, like the thing that makes it amazing.
Yeah.
Is if I don't have to cook. I can order out. You know, you're just tired. And you're like, oh, just going to order some stuff. Let them bring it to me. I just watch some series. That's like my happy place.
Yeah.
But if, let's say, that's not my option for that moment, I think music is really something that makes me happy. You know, it affects my mood. And I think, like, most people can agree with that.
Yeah.
So it's really music. It's really music. That was my first...
first
thing that pop up in my head. Yeah,
interesting. So I wonder as well, I mean, with the pandemic that you're all in quarantine in your apartment, there's not that difference between going out and coming back to your apartment and being able to do take your shoes off and do all that process, all that whole thing. So with the pandemic, how did that affect your you know, how you felt in that moment, that your happy place in that moment?
Are you asking me what was my happy place?
No, how did it affect? How did it change not being able to come home and feel relaxed?
And do that.
And do all that process, yes.
It was a struggle. It was a struggle, man. Because anyone that knows me knows I'm a very busy person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sit still. I don't like it. I've never sit still. Like, since the middle battle school, I've been going up and down, doing this, doing that. You can, I'm like salo. In Papiamento, we have the saying, "Chutamane salo, turka mineta." You know,
yes.
Everywhere you find her,
yeah,
that's me. So it was really difficult when they told us, "Yeah, you have to stay inside." You know, the first weeks it was okay because at the same time, if you're busy, you cannot really like rest, or I wasn't really good at that, like that. Right now I'm like, you know, scheduling stuff and also scheduling my rest moments.
Yeah.
But it was really difficult. I had to really find a way, like I used to look at videos on how to, you know, put the furnitures in your room so
rearrange,
that you can
arrange
really,
your furniture.
Yeah, rearrange. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can really like have a, this is for to sleep, this for school, this is to chill, like that kind of thing.
Kind of defining your areas for different
days. Yes. Yeah. So you can feel like you're being a bit productive, or, you know, you have different rooms in your room. So that was really difficult. It was a struggle. And to be honest, I didn't really had a place, because my room was the whole happy place, to be honest. Yeah, but it wasn't also my happy place. So it was like a dilemma of being happy and being sad and mad and angry and sad.
All those emotions mixed up with each other, yeah.
Exactly. Because once you're outside, you know, you come back home, you can reflect on the day. But you were inside, what are you going to reflect on? Just being inside, you know?
Yeah.
And when you go to sleep, you're like, okay, what did I do today? Okay, I just sat on my sofa, watch my screen.
Yeah.
Then
and nothing else.
Then you, yes, basically. And then you realize how much screen time.
Oh yes, you're mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah, that's how it changed for me. I didn't really had a happy place anymore, actually. Mm-hmm. It was just a place.
It was just a place, of course.
Yeah.
I wonder as well, when you're feeling down or when you're feeling unhappy, what are the things that you kind of do to lift yourself up? I think you said music is one that helped. Music,
yes,
really
music
brings your mood up as well.
Music, dancing, that relates to music, because most of the time when I hear a song, I have to, you know,
to start
one
moving
part
that
of
body,
my
yeah.
body. But also what I realized was to just be in the moment, actually. Mm-hmm. To just embrace being unhappy, because there's nothing wrong with being unhappy. And I realized that, and I was like, okay, so yeah, right now I'm sad, or I'm angry, or whatever. Okay, you're angry. Just to embrace it and acknowledge it, you know,
that
also helped me to accept it and be happy, or, you know, something. I don't know if I can explain.
Kind of accept it and move forward, you know, kind of knowing, accepting
exactly.
how what it is, what's affecting you, and being able to continue past that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And some physical stuff are like going for a walk, because I really have a beautiful place here. There's like a river there, and you can walk. So going for a walk or watching series also makes me very happy. And food.
And food. Oh wow.
Food.
Yes.
And reading books too.
Reading books. Oh, yeah. That really connects to my final two questions that I have for you. That's
okay.
What's a favorite book of yours that you would recommend to the listeners?
Oh my God, guys. I just read, or it was like a few weeks ago. I finished reading Atomic Habits.
Atomic Habits. What's it about?
Yes. It's about habits, of course.
Yeah.
the writer just like gives you simple steps and to understand why you're doing the things you're doing and how you can do them to be productive.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
How you can, because most of the time we put a goal for ourselves, but sometimes it's our environment, sometimes it's the way we think, sometimes is the people we hang with. You know, sometimes it, it relies on, there were four steps, I think. And he was like, well, you have to see which one of them is affecting you from not accomplishing it.
Yes.
You know? Sometimes you say, yeah, I want to get fit. I want to start eating healthy. But if you're not someone who likes to prepare meals, I'm just saying something. It's if you're not someone who really likes to prepare meals, or you don't have the time to fix something, you know, you're never going to start eating right or eating healthy. And you have to play with the things you already have in store. You're the way, because we put so much pressures on ourselves to be like, no, I have to start doing this. Otherwise this and this and this. But sometimes you have to see, okay, what do I already eat? Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
And what can I cut off? And don't be too dramatic, you know? Be realistic.
So of course, really, yes.
It's really interesting. I think you would love
it. Atomic Habits. Atomic Habits. Yes, I'll look it out.
Do you want the writer too? Or?
Oh, if you have the writer as well, that's
okay,
yeah, that's
great.
Let me
just look it up. Real fast. It's a really good book. I was like, wow, this is another way of viewing habits and goals, because he's like, it's not the goal that matters, it's the process, going to the goal. Yes. Because we're so focused on the result that we're not really focusing on now, on doing doing something to get to the
results. Yes. That's really important. I remember I read something as well that a lot of times that we enjoy the process more than actually reaching the goal. So we imagine, we think that we will be happier or we will be better when we reach that goal, but it's actually the whole process of working towards that goal that makes us happier, that makes us feel better. So it's the process is very important to focus
on. It's very important. Yeah, and sometimes because I remember I read something also that was saying, like, sometimes you say to a child, if they get a 6 or something, 5'5", 6, whatever, oh, that's not good. No, you know, it's not good. But it's just but did you see the process? Or when
exactly.
they, you know, you get me, because it's the result that matters. Yes, you have to get a nay for your report. Otherwise you're not, you know, in the list, you're not going on but actually it's the effort. It's the amount of work the person put in that.
Yes.
But it's difficult.
It's a mind shift that we have to do in with society in general.
Yes. You know? Yes. it's by James Clear.
James Clear. Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Yeah.
Okay. And for my final question for you, what is one advice you have for our listeners? It can be about anything. One advice in general.
Wow. One advice. That is. I'm thinking, like, how can I incorporate every advice I'm thinking right now into like one? Yeah. Because I think it's important to. This is a cliche one, to be true to yourself. But in a way that how can you put this? Okay, wait, let me just think about it really good.
Yes.
Before I say something. Okay. Have patience, I would say. And also, no, let me put it like this. Have patience with yourself in the process. Because sometimes we want something immediately. Like,
yes.
If you want to start, I'm going again with the eating right stuff. Mm-hmm. If you want to start eating right, you want it to work immediately. But sorry, I'm not going to lie to you. It's not going to go in 1, 2, 3. And that's something I have to tell myself every single time. I'm still struggling with it. Hey, nothing goes in 1, 2, 3. Have patience with yourself. Have patience with yourself. Have patience with the process. You're going to get there someday. Yeah. But you have to make steps in the now in order for you to get to the future.
Exactly.
And every step matters. Celebrate every single step. Like, if you only ate a broccoli today, celebrate it. You know? Yeah. If you only got out of your bed and make your bed, celebrate it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Every detail matters. And I think we are putting so much pressure. I'm gonna say it again. We're putting so much pressure on ourselves to be someone mm-hmm. That we're not.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're not ready to be that person yet. That's why you have to have patience with the process.
Yes. Yes.
You're going to become that person someday. But because you're not ready yet, you're not there yet. You will get there when you're mm-hmm. ready. So be patient with the person you are today in order for you to become the person you want to be in the future.
In the future, yes. That's great advice.
I had a really other advice in my head, but this is what came out. And I'm really happy I said it.
Yes, because that reminds me that one thing that we are so built for, because in Instagram or social media, you can always get something so quickly that we forget that in real life, things don't work like that. You know, that things take more time. Things sometimes takes a lot of time. Sometimes takes years. But we have to remember that it's important to those little steps and celebrate those little steps. So that's very, very great advice.
And that sometimes, accept that sometimes if something doesn't work out for you, it's not for you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's not for you. And that is okay.
Yes.
You can't
okay
be
okay as well. Yes.
Yes. You can't be everything you want to be because you wanted to be. Yeah. Wow. How can I explain? You know, like in the book, it also explained that mm-hmm. if a swimmer wants to become an athlete, mm-hmm. If his body is built a certain way, it's going to take a while for that person to win a championship mm-hmm. Compared to if an athlete that has a body for the sport when, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's also something that can affect the way, affect why you're not reaching or getting to the goal you want to. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. We have to start accepting that some things are not for us. And you just have to find the thing that's for you.
That's for you. Exactly. Yes. It might take some time, but you will find that what's for you. Exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I can really say a lot more things, but I just have one more thing.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Just be open to growing mm-hmm. because, sometimes we're really focused on something, like I was really focused on becoming a trauma therapist, like I was saying, mm-hmm. but that I excluded everything else. This is my path. This mm-hmm. is it. And I wasn't really, how do you say that? I wasn't really aware that I was thinking that way. Mm-hmm. But it's just like that. When you say like, okay, I'm going to be an accountant. You're going to be an accountant. That's it. I'm not going mm-hmm. to be anything else. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad with that. But sometimes, what if you're not going to be the accountant? What then?
Yeah.
You know, then you feel like a part of you is going away, but actually it's not going away. It wasn't ever for you.
Exactly. Yes. So it's always important to remain flexible and be open for many things. Yes, adapting.
Because
yes.
If you see last year, everything mm-hmm. changed in a minute.
Exactly.
Everything changed.
Yes.
The whole world was down. Pop. Okay. Yeah, so just be flexible with mm-hmm. the way you live your life. It's okay. Change is going to come whether you like it or not.
Or not, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's my advice.
Great. So, Emily, thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yes, I really appreciate it too. It was a really nice topic, something I'm very passionate about. So thank you for approaching me.
Yes.
And I hope you listeners can learn something from our conversation. And
hopefully,
if you have any advice, or I don't know if you're going to post it somewhere that they can comment or something, but
they will be able to send in their questions or
thoughts. Yeah. I'm very open to answer questions. So.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Abby.
Yeah.
With that, we have reached the end of our episode. I want to thank our guest, Emily Tillman. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Hopefully, you guys learned something from this interview. And as I said a few minutes ago, if you want to send your thoughts or comments, or if you have questions for Emily or for me, you can do so sending a voice message on anchor.fm/happydesign, or you can also send in your questions by following the show on Instagram at @dfhpodcast. You can find the links to anchor.fm/happydesign or to our Instagram page in the show notes. And we'll see each other next week with a brand new episode. Designing for Happiness is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anchor.fm, or basically wherever you listen to your podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.